Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now we are joined live and in living color by Stuart Sink's presence, and he's going to be a part of First Horizon Bank's Lunch with a Legend series hosted by Buck Ballew here at Bobby Jones. Going to be facing the crowd here in about 20 minutes or so, and now you have to face us. And we have to be creative, Stuart, because nothing's going on in the golf world right now. Very creative. We're going to try to be seriously. Your initial reaction, aside from shock, when you found out about the merger?
Well, I guess my first reaction right now is I don't have a story like Ron Darling just told about his part in the movie.
You can't top that.
So, yeah. No, let's just go ahead and set the expectations where they ought to be right now. That was great. No, yesterday I woke up and when I finally started getting into the world and looking at the news, that came across the old email inbox, and I learned about the same time everybody else did. The commissioner sent all the players on the PGA Tour sort of the encapsulated version of what was about to happen about 30 minutes before the press release went out.
So, were you on the 4 o'clock call?
No, I wasn't. There was a player meeting in Canada yesterday at the Canadian Open, which is going on this week, and I had something else I had to do yesterday afternoon at the same time, so I thought about calling in and being a fly on the wall. It would have been interesting, but I've yet to hear any results from the meeting.
You have not heard sort of how it went, if there was contentiousness or anything along those lines?
I haven't, but I just would assume, because I've been in a lot of those player meetings before, there always is a little bit, and yesterday would have probably been at the height of it.
If I gave you 5 minutes in a room of truth with the commissioner of the PGA Tour, can I ask what you might ask him or what you'd want to know or what direction you might want that conversation to go?
Well, my biggest question would be, where'd the bout face come from? Because that seems to be the company line for the last 3 years is, we're not negotiating and we're not. I've talked to him. I've talked to Jay a little bit about it. And, I don't really know what to believe exactly, to be honest. I don't distrust Jay. I think Jay's a great leader for us. But he's a human being, too. And so we're prone to change our minds sometimes. And in the end, I think that what he decided was it's best for the PGA Tour and for golf as a whole to go forward as a partnership with this group instead of trying to be adversarial with them. And I would ask him where the bout face came from. And who knows from there, really? I'd let him do the talking.
Okay. Can I ask, if you were 25 as opposed to your age now, do you think your mindset could or would be different? I don't know if that's a fair question or not, but guys in their quote-unquote golfing prime probably see it a little bit different than guys who've been around quite a bit. Is it fair to ask that maybe at 25 you might have a different set of questions or a different conversation?
Yeah, that's for sure fair. I mean, I don't think age really is. There's other guys that are 50 that probably have a way different take on it than I do, too. And I'm not even sure I have a take yet. I'm not sure I've fully processed everything. I would be pretty excited if I was 25 because the future is going to be pretty lucrative, I think, for players who are going to play on the PGA Tour and perform well. So if I was the 25-year-old version of myself knowing what the future was going to hold, I'd be real excited.
And I would assume the pitch is, look, it's, from a business standpoint, great for everybody because we're all going to make more money. Where's the money coming from? That's a different conversation.
It's a different conversation. And one thing we know is some of the money's going to come from the Saudi Sovereign Investment Fund. That's one of the things that we do know. They're going to be a big sponsor of the PGA Tour going forward, sounds like, for a set number of years once the details are hammered out. And they're going to be at first minority owner of the new entity, sounds like, with the ability to maybe increase their ownership position. I don't know what that means exactly. That's some of the stuff we still got to let fall out. But it's going to be interesting to see how they merge the players that left and got paid a dump truck load of cash.
How about the ones who didn't? How about the ones who had? I'm the number 92 golfer in the world. They offered me $15 million. It's not the $80 million, but they offered me $15 million. You decide I'm not going. Now, not only do you not have that money, but here come 55 more golfers trying to take your PGA Tour card on top of everything else.
And in the end, in the middle of the summer, we have a room for 156 players.
Right.
That's as much we can put on the golf course for daylight and just doesn't time doesn't allow anymore. I don't, it doesn't take a math major to figure out that when you combine the LIV golfers with the current set of exempt PGA Tour players, that total is more than 156.
Right.
Someone's going to be on the outside looking in here before too long, and the big question is, who's that going to be? And those guys are going to be in an unenviable position.
I know it's not a union, but if I don't know if players are going to scream for a Monahan's resignation. I'm not playing unless you're not involved in this. I don't know how far any of that will go. But would you like a golf world where 50% plus one vote might actually control more of this stuff, or would that be throwing more problems into a situation?
I think that throws more problems into the situation because you got a lot of golfers out there that are dang good at one thing, and that's golf. And decision-making on long-term business, you know, real complex situations like this is not many of our strengths, admittedly. And I've been on the PGA Tour board myself for a term back in around the time when the FedEx Cup was being birthed. So that was pretty complex then, too. And this is way more complex than that. But I was witness to how those guys on the other side of the board. Now, our board is made up of players and independent directors who are leaders from the business community. The commissioner is the executive of the board. He's not on the board. And so I saw those guys work, and it was amazing how sharp they are and how they considered factors that we would have never known to even go into. And they steered the tour in the right way in a long term. This is, I'm talking like a 5+ year vision. That's the board's goal, and that's their job. So none of us are good at that. We sit back and listen with our arms folded and take it in and understand and try to become better. When it comes to decisions about the rules or the policies inside the ropes, television, stuff like that, that's where we get involved. I don't think it would be good to give the players a big vote on stuff like this.
Stuart Sink with us, part of the Lunch with a Legend series here at Bobby Jones. So where's the trophy from 09? Do you keep it right in the foyer as people come in so that's the first thing they see in your house?
Right now, it, I actually don't know where it is. I can't remember.
I know where it is. I know that.
It's either at the Georgia Golf, Georgia Sports Hall of Fame, or it's at my house.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one it is right now.
I'd have a massive necklace, and that would be my medallion. I'd wear that thing every place.
I loan it out here and there. You know, I've been very fortunate to receive a few of those, the nods for getting into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame in Georgia. And so I loan it out to them, and they put it on display in my little case.
What's that like? Because initially, I'm sure it doesn't sink in. You wake up the next day, no pun intended, Stuart Sink here with us. Does it hit home like when you wake up the next day? My goodness, I'm the champion of the Open.
It took me about 8 months to take it out of the kitchen. It stayed in the kitchen for 8 months. So every day when I woke up, when I was home, I saw it. And yeah, it did feel a little bit like that. And I finally moved it away from the kitchen, just outside the kitchen, to another room near the kitchen.
Were you afraid to touch it?
So hold on. What's the truth about what's been in it? I'd heard gravy. If it's in the kitchen, I don't know if maple syrup makes it. Like, did you ever use it? People have said, that one especially, people have used it to pour out wine. You pour wine in it, you pour wine out of it. You get a chance. I mean, are you in the club of things that have been in it to get poured onto something else?
There's been things in it. There's been things in it. I mean, it's a jug.
Right.
The definition of a jug is you put things in and you pour things out. So, yeah, one of my favorite stories was the last time we had it in possession. You know, you take it back after a year. I was going to St. Andrews. And my friend Chad Parker from Eastlake, who I'm sure is a friend of the show, he and I like to cook barbecue. And so we used it to pour the slather over our pork the last night. You know, it was delicious. And coming out of the jug, we got some great pictures. Well, there was also some other things being poured that night that were more liquid variety.
Yeah,
and
sure.
At the end of the night, I thought Chad cleaned the jug out, and he thought I cleaned the jug out. So it goes right in the case, uncleaned.
Oh.
We go to the airport the next 2 days, 3 days later, going through security, and I know the guys over there at the Atlanta airport, and they said, we know we got to check this, you know, because they wanted to see the jug. And I was like, take it on out. So they brought it out, and they were looking at it, kind of leaning over, getting a good look, and all of a sudden the slather started dripping out the top. And I was like, okay, guys, we got to go.
Can I ask,
you've never seen barbecue sauce before?
Yeah. Did it smell like a dead body at that point?
No, there's three jugs. There's three. They say there's one. There's three.
Okay.
One with the champion, one at the Museum of the RNA, and one in refurbishment all the time. So there's a three-way rotation. And so it's like new when you get it.
All right. Last thing about Monahan, PGA, LIV, and everything else. Ryder Cup is sort of immediate. In your mind, is everybody now eligible? No more fighting about who goes to the Ryder Cup before we get to 2024, which everybody says, oh, this will all begin in 2024. There's still stuff to be figured out. Is Ryder Cup now back to, hey, come one, come all?
That is one great question, and I wish I had the answer to that. But if it was up to me, mm-hmm. I would say, let's let the best players from America play in the Ryder Cup. I mean, Brooks Koepka is obviously playing pretty good golf. He almost won the Masters, won the PGA. And do we not want him on the team? I mean, there's not animosity among the players that much. I mean, you see, yeah, there's a dust up here and there. Rory and Patrick Reed, there's a golf tee being thrown, whatever. Okay, that's a bunch of garbage. But for the most part, when I see the LIV golfers, I don't have any animosity towards them, you know, in a personal way. I like those guys. I miss them. In a professional relationship, yeah, I have a little animosity, but I'm a mature enough person, and they are too, to sort of put that aside. I want the best players on my team if I'm Zach Johnson, who's probably my best friend on the PGA Tour, too. I want the best players on the team, and if that's Brooks Koepka, if he wears a LIV banner playing for whatever team he plays for, or if it's a guy who's playing on the PGA Tour, I want those guys on my team.
Because you want to win above all else. That's what it's all about.
And you want to represent the country in the best possible way.
Can I ask, would that be a great bridge to 2024? Is the Ryder Cup a chance to maybe bridge towards, with all the anger that might be going on and all the uncertainty, could the Ryder Cup be a way, for as much as I don't like you for the next handful of days, guys are going to be in close quarters. Is it a way to sort of maybe get together and go, we got a chance to make this bigger than it's ever been. We can start here and now to push to 2024.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, actually, and a facet that maybe not many people have thought of yet. So you're like a visionary.
Thank you. He always is, Stuart. He always is. We take his ideas all the time. Listen, we appreciate you coming by. Enjoy the lunch, the session today, and always great to see you.
All right, great to see you guys.
And by the way, great charitable work in and around the city of Atlanta. It should be noted for a very, very long time. So congratulations to you.
Our pleasure to do that. Thank you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.